Welcome back, Brandon Lowe Show, 95 The Sports Fox. You can always take us on the go at 95thesportsfox.com. We're available on your TuneIn app, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, all the streaming platforms they use to get our content here on the Brandon Lowe Show, WBS AM 950 here in Charleston, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. And we bring back the guy who lives on the show, man, but does a great show, great work, I should say, for us, and a great show between the years podcast. Let's at 6 o'clock on Friday evenings here on 95 The Sports Fox. He is Chris Hall. Chris, welcome back, my friend.
Always glad to be back. And it's always good because we got some great news with baseball this week. They've been a lot of fun to watch the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, if you're following along with the Mountaineers, Randy Mays and his club, now 19-12 overall, 4-5 in conference play, and they get that series over Oklahoma State on the road, too, in Stillwater. They won the first game, no problem, man. Took it to the Cowboys, and really should have been a sweep. They were ahead the entire Saturday contest, gave up some runs late in that game, but hey, they still got the series 2-1 on Sunday, winning that 4-2, and just a big time. Now it's back-to-back over top 25 and in conference, Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, but just stepping up big for Mountaineers, man. They're doing great this season so far.
Yeah, it was the first conference road series win since 2 years ago when they beat Oklahoma State, who was ranked at the time as well, so. They're playing really well. You're right. They probably should have won Saturday. They were winning 5-0. Oklahoma State got their bats going. Colin Simpson hit that grand slam in the eighth inning. He's one of the best players in the league. Off Kessler. You know, Sam Kessler's the closer. He's been great all season. But when you're going up against an all-conference type of player, he's going to make plays too. But it was a tough go for Mountaineers Saturday, but they bounced right back. They scored first in every single game. They were the first ones to put the runs on the board. They did it again Sunday. They went up 1-0. Oklahoma State bounced right back in the bottom of the first inning, went up 2-1. Both pitchers settled in. Cade Stroud, I don't think I've talked about him a lot, the way he battles. He goes out and pitches six more scoreless innings. And West Virginia ends up getting to him in the eighth. So they played really, really well. The last couple of weeks, you can see this team. Maisie's done a great job of recruiting. A lot of this production. We got Darius Hill, but a lot of this production has been done with the youth, freshmen, sophomores. So he's done a great job of recruiting. Great job of putting this class together. If you remember, Braden Zarbniski went out at the beginning of the year, a multi-tool kid, plays everywhere, pitches left field, wherever you kind of need him, center field. Now, that was a big blow for this team in the off season, but they've responded, and they've responded really well. They've got a tough one again this Wednesday at Maryland at 4 o'clock, and that's Maryland's a pretty good baseball team. They're not a bad baseball team, but as we saw with Pitt last week, they're the worst Power 5 team in the country, according to RPI. But when it comes to rivalries, you throw all that out the window, and Maryland – a lot of people may not think Maryland's a rivalry, but it is, especially in baseball because they play each other a lot. So it's going to be a tough go, but this team seems to be clicking on all cylinders right now.
For joining us here, we got Chris Hall from Dovey Nation, DoveyNation.com, at Dovey Nation on Twitter, talking Mountaineer baseball, big win this weekend over Oklahoma State as far as a series win, back-to-back over top 25 competition and conference. And we'll talk about the pitching a little bit more in detail as well, but the defensive plays as well, TJ Lake, who robbed that homer, that would have been a home run for Oklahoma State, which was a big-time play, SportsCenter top 10 type of play. Then you had the diving catch from Darius Hill in the game as well. So, you know, when pitching wasn't necessarily where it was, you know, it had its moments. You're going to have that in baseball where the bats get hot and guys are going to start hitting the ball a little bit around the park. But for the guys on the back end behind the pitcher to make some plays in the outfield was huge for the Mountaineers as well.
Yeah, TJ Lake was a big one. I mean, that was obviously a big one. Trying to think, last week I think it was Brandon White against Oklahoma made a great play on the warning track, jumping up against the wall that probably saved at least two runs at the time. So the defense has been really good. Yes, they make mistakes at times. I know it was Saturday. That's kind of what got Oklahoma State going. Saturday, a couple routine plays turned into errors, and you know they kind of got them back in the game, tied the game up, and they should have got out of the inning. Instead, they let Oklahoma State hang around, and then bases loaded in the eighth, Colin Simpson makes them pay. So stuff like that it will add up. But overall, they played really well. And if you have that kind of defensive backing where you've got guys like Darius Hill diving to make to make a catch, and then T.J. Lake robbing home runs. It gives you a pitcher a lot of confidence. You know, he's not going to try to worry about maybe not keeping it out of the strike zone. He'll put the ball, let them put the ball in play because he knows he's got the defensive back. So I think that's giving them a lot of confidence on the mound because they know they've got his back.
Certainly. So let's talk about pitching. You know, you mentioned Stroud, but you look at the student athlete of the week this week for the Mountaineers, that 8-inning shutout performance, junior right-handed Alec Manoa there, that first victory, that 11-1 victory over Oklahoma State. Man, that was amazing. They held OSU to no runs, just three hits, no walks, and led the Big 12 in innings pitch, strikeouts, third in opponent batting average. He was the only Big 12 pitcher last week to not allow a run in more than four innings pitched. So having guys like that on the mound, and we've had this conversation, and I've told you that we've had these conversations with Maisie before, that obviously pitching is, there's no secret, huge in baseball. If you have guys in a deep bullpen where you can be able to pull them up, even in big moments where you got to relieve a guy and bring him in, even though that guy's been having a big-time game, you got to have guys that can clinch the game as well, closers. And at times, the Mountaineer pitching staff has looked phenomenal. I mean, there have been moments where, you know, Maisie's probably closed his eyes and he's came out of the game with a little couple migraines. But there's been some very, very big bright spots for this pitching staff.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think what really kind of goes overlooked as well is how deep these starters are going. I mean, you mentioned Manoa goes 8 innings. That's huge. I mean, that's really big. I mean, if you can get a guy like that, keep his pitch count down, that's big because, you know, you don't necessarily want to go in your bullpen because West Virginia has a lot of freshmen in their bullpen that they have to rely on. They've looked at freshmen very rarely. They've actually come in and played really well. But Alec Manoa, you really can't say enough about this kid right now. Last year he came in, he was spotty at best at times. He came in late in games, basically just came and brought the heat. He's their ace this year. I mean, he totally turned it around. I think there's been maybe one, two games where he's kind of lost control for an inning or two, but for the most part, man, when he gets angry, when that big guy gets angry on the mound, you do not want to face him as a batter because he gets fired up, he gets all riled up, and man, he starts shutting teams down. And when you go into Stillwater on the first night and you hold that team to one run, that shows how really good that you are. And then you go the next day, Jackson Wolf goes deep in the game as well. Cade Stroud goes 7.1. So those three starters on the weekend have done a phenomenal job the last couple of weeks. They've really come into their own, and they just continue to look better and better. Jackson Wolf has had struggles. Stroud, they've all had their struggles at moments, but man, they have really settled down. And that, right now, to me, that's been the biggest flip, because last year, if anyone paid attention to the baseball team, there was moments where Maisie may have went six or seven pitchers. I mean, they just could not get the ball across the plate. But it's been a total turnaround this year, and you can't give enough credit to how much these guys have turned it around, improved, and have really, really starting to carry this team. And you're adding these bats where they won 11-1 with Manoa. That's impressive. And again, they're just kind of getting it all together here.
Just join us here on the Brandon Lowe Show, talking with Chris Hall, WNation.com, at WNation on Twitter. Also, Between the Years podcast, Friday evening, 6 o'clock here on 95 to Sports Fox. At Maryland, this Wednesday at 4 o'clock, I believe, is the first pitch there, College Park. So you go on the road, and then you come back home for another conference series with Texas Tech. And there's no secret that Texas Tech is a very, very good baseball program. So, you know, it's not going to get any easier as you play in the Big 12 Conference, but you know, another exciting opportunity for West Virginia to maybe get another series win.
Yeah, like I said, that Maryland game is going to be tough. It's a rivalry game, but then you come back home. You got to take care of business. In the middle of the week, can't look ahead. Texas Tech rankings just came out. The coach rankings just came out. They're 13th in the country. You get them at home. So you can't look ahead. You can't look away at Maryland. ACC is a good baseball conference. A lot of them just kind of eat each other up down there. So Maryland's tough. It's going to be a tough game. Can't look ahead of Texas Tech. I know everybody as fans is looking ahead of Texas Tech. You get the 13th ranked team in the country coming in. It's hard not to kind of go over that. But Maisie doesn't seem to have a problem right now. He has this team really focused, in control. They don't panic, even though there's a lot of youth on this team. They do not panic. So I expect them to go take care of this. It's probably going to be close, like it was a big game last week. But I expect them to handle their business, keep the bats going, and get – get revved up for Texas Tech this weekend.
Certainly. All right, let's move our attention before we get to football. Spring game, of course, is Saturday, 1 o'clock. But I want to talk about this. I think we briefly talked about maybe, I know you and I were talking off air, if we did touch up on it. I think we might have talked a little bit about it between the years. But Konate declaring for the 2019 NBA draft. The message, we saw this last year, you know, he went to the combine and came back, and this is just what it is. This is the process now in college basketball. The guys go there and, you know, and see what scouts say and all that stuff, and then they come back and they kind of use some of those things. Javon Carter even did it. So Konate does declare for the NBA draft. Now, the only thing that kind of is kind of a flag that hit this may be his last year is, and I think you and I have had this conversation that we don't think so, but his kind of caption and post on the Instagram photo that he put, kind of thanking the coaching staff and Mountaineer Nation, was almost like a goodbye, and a lot of fans were kind of putting that out on social media. Now, I don't know if this is just him saying thank you for everything before I go over here, and then he's going to find out that he still has a lot to work on, which I still think he does. I don't think this is his year. He sat out. He only played 8 games. But I think, you know, ultimately, if he wants to go, he can. I don't have anything against kids wanting to go to the next level. If they think they can make it, then go do it. I'm not going to hold any kid back from going to the next level for selfish fan reasons that I want him to come back and play for my team. You know, if he wants to go and he thinks he can make an impact right away and be there and be the type of NBA player he wants to be, then go after it. And I'm sure Huggins would agree with that. But I would like to see Konate come back. Not just because it'd be great for the team, but I think he needs that to come back for that final, you know, that 1 year. I know they were looking for a redshirt for him or whatever, but just come back for at least another year, play a full season, see what happens, and then go from there.
Yeah, I would think it's his best interest to come back. You know, he has to work on a game. I know he's put out photos of him draining threes in the practice facility. Of course, we all know that's a lot different, a lot easier to do when no one's guarding you in a practice facility. But, you know, he has worked on his game, worked on it all last season. And even though he's only played 8 games, he's got a great body type. And if he's able to handle the ball on the outside or just be able to pop and shoot on the outside, kind of spread the floor a little bit, there might be one. It only takes one GM to say, hey, Sag, we'll develop you. We'll do what Javon Carter just did this year, where he was going from the G League to the NBA, going back and forth. I think the biggest concern with him, I don't think it's a secret, is his knee. Is he able to play? Is he able to practice without the swelling? Can he manage it? Is it okay? Because, as we all know, there's 82 games in the NBA, and then you got playoffs, you have preseason, and if he's going to do the G League thing like Javon Carter, I mean, he's going to play a lot of minutes. So is that knee strong? Is it okay? Is it not going to swell? Is he going to invest time in him? Is he going to be on the court? I think those are the questions that he's going to have to answer, obviously, but I don't think he's in game shape. He sat out all year. He wasn't able to run. He was able to put up shots, stuff like that, but when his knee swelled, he pulled it back. And so I think that's going to be the biggest question he has to answer. And, of course, I mean, any player that has dreams or aspirations to play at the next level should go get evaluated. They'll tell him again this year what he needs to work on. So it really just depends. I mean, it's all about what a franchise wants to take that chance. Is there one that wants to take that chance? We know there's a bunch of healthy kids that played all year that's looking for that opportunity. So it only takes one. It's going to be interesting to see what happens that whole process. I would expect him to be back, but you just never know. He may just say, you know what, I'm going to go play in Europe and get paid and develop that way. So we'll find out. I don't like the new rule because it really puts a program, it benefits the kid, but he has until after the draft to decide whether he's coming back or not. So obviously that puts Huggins in a hole. They have a plan in place, but it's just a matter of someone taking the chance. Is his knee going to be healthy enough for him to improve, to build on what he's built already? And that's really where we're at right now. It's all a bunch of questions that we don't have answers for at the moment.
You know, I'm sure you saw this. I put up on social media, and I kind of talked about this with Matthew Postens last week, you know, in reference to European ball and playing overseas. And I feel like people think that's some type of knock on these guys. And look, everybody in America obviously wants to go NBA first. Well, you're a fan of the NBA. You grew up watching the NBA. It's the place to play, you know. But if you can play in Europe and make, you know, a decent salary. I mean, I look at it all the time. I see Devin Williams all the time. You know, people say things about, well, look at Devin Williams. Well, Devin Williams right now is in Australia eating a lot of great food and making decent money and seeing the world. And if it was me, I'd rather be in Spain than Oklahoma City making, you know, whatever money I'm making, the league minimum and whatever it may be, if you're that type of player. I mean, that's just me. I mean, I'd rather be somewhere else. And I mean, that's just me. I wouldn't want to be in San Antonio. I wouldn't want to be in Phoenix. I wouldn't want to be in Oklahoma City. There's just a few, Orlando even, making, you know, whatever money it is. And when I can make almost about the same amount of money and be somewhere else with cheaper living and better food, man.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you make a good living playing basketball overseas. And there's no doubt about it. NBA's worldwide. Basketball's worldwide. There's a lot of basketball fans out there, and they'll make good money. I mean, Devin Williams was probably never truly an NBA prospect. So why take the risk and not get paid? I respect decisions like that, because I think if you know what your value is, because you can always come back. You will always still get tryouts for the G League, for the NBA, and you can make it. We've seen guys go overseas and come back. It's rare, because you either have it or you don't, but why not go make money? Like you said, you get to travel. You know, we've seen John Flowers, Alex Ruoff. There's been plenty of Mountaineers playing all over the world. Kevin Jones was in Russia. I mean, they're everywhere. So they have a lot of fun doing it. You're playing the sport that you love. I mean, you're getting paid to play basketball, and they make good money. I mean, it's not minimum wage. You're not starving. They make pretty good money doing it. So, yeah, I fully agree. I mean, I think if Sags did go the Europe route, I think he would still have it. I think he could be one of those guys that could come back and play in the NBA, because of how much he's improved since he was a freshman till now. I mean, people remember when he was a freshman, he could not shoot the ball at all. I mean, he could not do anything. I mean, he wasn't even blocking. He was blocking some shots, but not like he did last year. And now he's on the outside shooting three. So it's just going to be about ball handling. I think a lot of it's going to be about ball handling, but I don't know if he's going to be in game shape to be able to go through the whole combine. I think that may hold him back. But, again, takes one. If he goes to Europe and gets in shape and improves that way, more power to him. And I would like to see him one more time. We obviously don't get to see a lot of basketball that's played in Europe. I would like to get to see him play one more time in America, where I can watch him on TV, because I want to see how much he's improved, because this kid has improved so much year in, year out. There's no doubt in my mind the kid's a baller.
Just a few minutes left in this segment. I want to get, obviously, spring game this weekend, Mountaineers, and we've talked so much leading up to this. We've pretty much covered everything as far as, you know, some of the things we're looking at. But, you know, it's interesting. You talked about the quarterback position lately, and walk on Trent Jackson, whose place on last year's depth chart was summed up basically by that number 44 jersey he was wearing in an official team photo. And he said, Brown said, about all the quarterbacks, he's the lone guy that's really been impressive. All the other guys have been kind of forcing some things. Obviously, we're not going to see a bunch of crazy stuff. This is just a glorified scrimmage. You're going to be able to see what this offense looks like in defense. You're going to see some guys rotate in and out. That's what spring's for. And they're just kind of evaluating these guys, getting to know them. It's a lot of drills, as we mentioned before, throughout practice. But I think it's just the excitement to be able to see this this team and this staff and everything else. I think that's the big thing fans are looking forward to this weekend, Chris.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a new era. You get a good glimpse of what this coaching staff is like. I spend time over there. I get to see them personally. But Joey, I get to see them out there coaching. I don't know if they're going to do a whole scrimmage yet. I don't know if they've announced it, but they're going to do some different competitions. So I don't know if it's going to be your basic spring game. So it should be a lot of fun. A lot of people should enjoy it. And it's really hard to tell, especially with the new coaching staff and everything that's come to light here. Everything's so basic. You don't want to put a whole lot into the spring game. There's not a whole lot you can put into it. Just kind of watch the fundamentals. If you look at the fundamentals, you'll probably see a bigger difference with this team. Everything out is probably going to be sloppy, probably going to look really ugly at times because they're learning everything. But it doesn't surprise me with the quarterbacks. I haven't been really impressed with the quarterbacks. I can't remember, we were talking about before that we got on here, I can't remember if I said on here, but I thought Jack Allison was one of the better quarterbacks that had been out there. But, you know, Austin Kendall's been dealing with, you know, recovering from a knee issue. Nothing serious, but I think the biggest thing that'll sort itself out off season with these quarterbacks, who these receivers go to, get the timing down. Once you get the timing down, watch all the film from spring, you'll probably see a bigger jump once fall ball starts.
All right, he's Chris Hall, Dovey Nation. Get at him on Twitter, at Dovey Nation. Follow along throughout spring, you know, the football, the scrimmage there on Saturday, as I like to call it, the spring game, 1 o'clock. And then, of course, baseball, follow along with Chris and those guys over at Dovey Nation. At Between the Ears as well for the Between the Ears podcast Twitter page, 6 o'clock Friday evenings here on 95 The Sports Fox. Chris, appreciate your work, my friend, and always good talking to you.
Always, man. Love it. Thanks.